Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio. You can find us at 95.9 on your FM dial or kgvm.org online. And it is time tonight for the Local Musician Spotlight. We are in the KGVM studios. We're not out at the Tune Factory tonight. Pat's, you know, getting ready for some rock and roll show or something. So we're in the Tune Factory, and I'm here with McLean Dow and Nathan Rodeker. Thanks for coming in tonight. It was kind of short notice, so I appreciate you bailing me out.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much for having us.
So, I mean, I've seen you guys in Art and Funk Collective a few times now, I guess. But McLean, you've got a catalog of solo material out there as well, right?
Yeah, I do. I've been writing music since high school, so I put out a lot of my music from a long time ago under Cherry Fox.
And you originally were, what, down in Austin? Is that where you came here from?
Yeah, I lived there for a little over 10 years. That's where I graduated school from, and I give Austin full credit, I would say, for my real interest in music. My parents gave me a lot of the taste, but Austin gave me the real interest in playing.
I mean, if you're gonna pick a place to get started in music, I'm pretty sure you could do worse than Austin. So,
absolutely, yeah.
how did you find the transition to Bozeman when you moved here?
I took most of my time to focus on school, and so I sort of put the playing and performing on hold for a while. And but I wasn't sure what to expect. And then once I started, like, dipping my toes into it, I realized just how cool Bozeman actually is to play in. It's unlike any other place. I'd say it's the most similar to Austin out of all the places that I've been.
Yeah.
In terms of just how the audience reacts, you know, how much people in this town love just to listen to music, regardless if they've heard it before. If it's a new band, then they're so supportive. So it's been awesome. I've loved the transition.
Yeah. I have a guess. How did you dip your toe into the local music scene?
This guy.
Was it?
Nathan over here, he has this gift. I don't know how else to describe it. But I literally was so petrified to perform for the longest time, just because I had done it so much in Austin and wasn't happy with it. And so I sort of was like, ah, performing is not fun anymore. But then Nathan slowly convinced me to start playing, and we didn't do any Hof open mics. That's what he really wanted me to do.
that was my guess.
Yeah,
actually.
But he really wanted me to come play an open mic, and I kept like, no, I'm too tired. You know, I worked too, and then he just started coming over to my house eventually, and now we have all these songs written, and we jam with our good friend Noah too, and our other bandmate Carson. And I would say that Nathan has a gift of bringing people together and bringing out the best in their musicianship skills. So
yeah,
I would definitely say it's people around here that have helped me
got you
grow.
Going.
Yeah, and bring out the best of my skills.
It seems like Art and Funk has evolved a lot over. I can't remember how long have you guys been playing this Art and Funk.
Probably like 8 or 9 months, something like that.
Yeah. And that's not a long time, but it seems like it's changed a lot in that 8 or 9 months. I mean, not just membership, but like the music. And I'm sure the membership has a pretty big influence on the way that develops. But so when you were playing in Austin, you recorded as Cherry Fox. Did you have a band, or were you doing mostly solo?
I actually didn't perform any of that stuff, acoustic or solo, at all. All of it was full band that I got friends from my high school together, who some of them didn't even play any instruments, but I taught them how. I taught my drummer how to play drums just so that I could have a drummer, because gosh darn it was so hard to find people to play with. For some of the singles that I released, my friends were gone again, so I ended up having to record all the parts myself, so I was kind of like a one-man band for those.
Yeah.
But whenever we performed around town, yeah, we were a four-piece, and I feel way more comfortable in that sort of setting, so that's why I'm really excited to do this too, is it's a little bit more of a vulnerable set. I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, it's we'll get into that after maybe, if you want to go ahead and play two or three, and then we'll maybe chat about that.
Sure, absolutely, that sounds great.
All right.
Thank you.
what it is. I can't be bothered now. Sensing a shift in every broken word, in every silent stare, hides pity. I wish my soul was there, afraid to be. I only wanted you to news. We were foraging, full of canopy.
Are those songs that kind of came from the period when you were, are they kind of Cherry Fox material or newer things?
That very, very first one I actually wrote a couple weeks ago. And then the two after, yeah, both of those were Cherry Fox songs, the most recent releases.
Yeah. When you were performing them before, it was usually electric or?
Yeah. Usually electric with a ton of effects, like just drowned in chorus.
Yeah,
absolutely drowned.
When you wrote them, do you usually write on the guitar or a different instrument?
I usually write on the guitar, and it's kind of funny because it's so hard for me to start with words or anything else but a melody.
Yeah.
or a chord progression. There's been, obviously, like whenever I was in school and I had to take acoustic and electronic composition, and they made me write a lot of stuff. You know, I wanted to go outside my comfort zone. So there's been times where I've tried writing songs on the piano and I've been successful. I also teach ukulele lessons, and sometimes it's fun to write songs on different instruments that just have different chordal shapes, because then you can just get crazy with it and experiment a lot.
Yeah.
But most of my stuff's off guitar, because it's my, I feel like it's my main instrument. It's the one that calls to me the most, at least.
Yeah. When you're writing songs, acoustic guitar or electric?
See, that's funny. Normally, whenever I'm writing with acoustic, it's because I'm writing something that's like, I don't know, it could be a Taylor Swift song, you know? Like, it could be very very like stripped down and poppy. If I'm on my electric though, usually I have my loop pedal going, and I usually have some ideas that I sit on for a while and just layer and layer ideas. So yeah, I guess it kind of depends. You usually get a very different end product. Yeah. I do, at least.
The instrument has a significant impact on the way the song comes together.
Definitely. The tuning as well. Like, I love experimenting with alternative tunings. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a... I mean, it's not unexpected. And I don't know if other people probably have that same experience, I would guess. I mean, obviously it has a pretty significant influence on how people perceive it, so I can easily see that it would have a influence on the way that it kind of starts to take shape. So it seems like those songs are fairly introspective, personal kind of music, it seems like. Is the writing process kind of a cathartic thing?
It's painful sometimes. I have songs that are so physically hard for me to finish because I'm not happy with it, or it's not how I wanted it to be, or, you know, I'm trying to write about something to get it out, but just that process alone of getting it out is so hard sometimes. But at the same time, I also try to make fun and light of it through that process.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been told that so many times that like my songs are very like, yeah, moody, and like, I think that's what I'm trying to give the audience that same effect of like how I felt, almost like a what is it? Some nostalgia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think there are quite a few songwriters out there who, you know, they use the song to get rid of things or to maybe not get rid of them, but at least, temper them, kind of tamp them down maybe, or come to grips with them, get familiar with like maybe what you're feeling. So it's, that's interesting that sometimes the difficulties of taking those things and actually making a song come out of them, they might kind of also factor in there.
Yeah. Nobody told me whenever I was, you know, writing music growing up, cause that was just, I would naturally gravitated towards that. My parents were, my mom was forced to learn piano, but neither of my parents were musicians. And so I just kind of did songwriting on like my own thing. And I don't know, nobody told me that like it just happens, you know, it doesn't just happen magically. Like, and that goes for all creative outlets. Like, it's not like, oh, I wrote a poem, I'm not sad anymore. Like,
right.
I wish that's how that worked. It's more of just like a timestamp for me. Like, I'm able to look back and be like, okay, this is how 16-year-old McLean felt about this person or this event.
Yeah.
And then I'm able to look back, and it used to be painful for me to listen to my music. I wrote it, put it out, and I never listened to it again. And then these guys over here are making me re-listen to it so that I can arrange it and share it with the world again. But I feel better about it now. Like, now I'm finally getting that cathartic release years after writing the song, now that I'm playing it as a more matured, emotionally matured adult. So, I don't know. I guess that's more of what it is. It's a timestamp.
That's really interesting. I mean, future you can go back and thank past you for giving you some of those outlets that you didn't even know you were going to.
Younger me really had to go through it.
Yeah.
In order for me
take it in the shorts for older
me's problem.
It's worth it. It's always worth it. Every experience is writable, which is cool.
Yeah. Man, it is unfortunate that you can't write a poem or a song or a book or something and just take all of your stuff and load it in there and throw it out and be have it gone.
Yeah.
And if you could do that, I think I'd have to learn to write poetry or something. Like, that would be a pretty handy thing to have.
Make some money.
Yeah, really. I mean, who needs psychiatrists? You just a notepad and a pen.
Exactly.
I was gonna say lobotomy, but that was stupid. Sorry. I'm gonna stop talking now.
Well, yeah, you want to play a couple more?
I would love to. Feeling hurt, I know.
Thank you.
right. If you are just tuning in, this is the Local Musician Spotlight here on KGVM Bozeman. We're keeping the community in community radio at 95.9 on your FM dial, kgvm.org online. And we're here in the studio with McLean Dow and Nathan Rodeker. If you missed the start of the show and you're kind of wishing you hadn't, which, you know, that would make sense. Or if you know somebody else that would like to listen to it, we'll broadcast this again on Saturday afternoon at 6 p.m. And when the Slacker DJ gets his act together, which, you know, that could be a while, it will be available on our website for listening whenever you would like as well. So, I was kind of curious. I always wonder about this. when you're writing music, did you find that things changed much? Does your surroundings matter a lot? Like when you moved here, does it have an effect on the way that songs develop?
Oh, definitely. I actually think that part of the reason why I wanted to move here so badly was just because of how close you are to everything in terms of nature. I feel whenever I lived in Austin that I had to, you know, kind of go out of my way to find inspiration in nature. Other than, of course, you know, I love Barton Springs and the wildflowers in Texas. Like, don't get me wrong, I had lots of inspiration, but coming up here, yeah, it's definitely different, and my songwriting has definitely grown and shifted and changed. And I definitely think part of that had to do with the fact that I had to do classical training for 4 years and listen to a ton of different kind, you know, tons of different kinds of music. But definitely, the mountains are hella inspiring.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, it's I grew up here and like up north and within, you know, 20 miles of the Rocky Mountain front. So I moved to Buffalo, New York for a couple of years. And it's kind of funny. I didn't really realize it until I was moving back and I was driving through Wyoming. It's like, the further I got, it's just like, it just felt better. It's like, you know, you can see the mountains. They start getting a little bigger and a little bigger. It's just, It just feels right, I guess. So, I guess that's one of the things I would expect, not that I know beans about writing songs, but I would just think that environment, and I mean, this is a little bit less the case in Bozeman now than it used to be. I mean, it used to be, you know, not that many people here, and it's still pretty small town. So for me, that would certainly be a big factor too. Just the hustle and bustle of a big place seems to me like it would just make that harder. It makes everything harder to me.
So. Yeah, I loved Austin, but there was definitely a reason why I had to, you know, move away and try and do something a little bit different. Smaller scale obviously helps. You know, you have a much smaller pool of people in terms of audience and also different musicians that you can collaborate with. But yeah, I mean, I wish I had gotten here sooner. Honestly, I do love Bozeman. It's very special. Austin's very weird, and Bozeman has its quirks.
Yeah.
Bozeman has lots of little quirks. I actually picked up a sticker from Music Villa, or not Music Villa, Cactus Records recently, and it was like one of the ones that said, Bozeman still sucks. And I felt like even though I'd only lived here, I guess this is my fifth year, I had to buy it. I was like, this is just what they're known for now, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. We love to talk bad about ourselves here.
We love Bozeman, yeah. I mean,
you know, turns out most of the rest of the state likes to talk bad about us too, but you know, some of that might be a little deserved. But we got better music than pretty much everywhere else, I think.
Absolutely.
Missoula's got quite a bit of good music too.
They do.
And not that I'm over there all the time, but I think just listening to recorded output, I think Bozeman's got it hands down over the rest of the state. So.
Completely agree.
So with
you hear that, Missoula?
Yeah. Oh man, now I'm going to be in trouble. Somebody's going to be. I'll be run out of town on a rail or something if I ever go back there. Do you think that you will? Do you envision releasing some of this music, and would it be kind of this acoustic form, or?
I think what I want to do is release. We actually wanted to record Art and Funk. Some of our originals for that, and then I was thinking to, in the meantime, record some of these new songs that I've had written. The last one that we just played, I've had written since sophomore year of college, so that was 2 or 3 years ago that I've had it just sitting. It's just sitting. So definitely need to get those recorded. That's definitely the plan, and that's why I love good old musician hustle and bustle schedule of the year is because summertime's all about shows and then wintertime's all about recording.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get a chance to do all that. And yeah, the new Cherry Fox songs, it's my friends back home have been waiting a really, really long time. I think they're actually pretty angry at me. they're like, you said you were going to release music while you're up there, and it's been 5 years, so somebody's lying. Huh? Yeah. So it's about time. You know, I don't have any excuses anymore. I'm done with school, and now I've got all this time, so.
Yeah. Well, if you're not a skier, it turns out there's all the time in the world in the winter here.
Valid. I mean, I like the idea of skiing. I'm very clumsy, and I can just envision myself breaking my body on a hill. Watch me just stick to the bunny hills the whole time. I'll still go.
I mean, you know, you can go do that and then come home and write songs and record bad. And so.
Totally bad.
Yeah. Do you have an idea of would you kind of record it in your like home, home studio sort of a thing?
Or? I've been slowly accruing things. I'm lucky that I have made some awesome friends who are also in this business and in the interest of recording. So I have lots of friends that I'm able to mooch off of, which is, I feel very blessed for that. And also, most of the time whenever I record demos or I'm collaborating with somebody, I just record in my room, which it's such a cool feeling. But one day I'll have my own studio. Just, you know, it'll take a while.
Yeah. I think when it's music gear, it's not mooching. It's just like exchanging karma.
What would Noah say? Sharing the wealth.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's like, take my Jennies. Take good care of them.
That's pretty generous.
I know.
Yeah, you want to play a couple more?
Happy to, yeah.
Close to be losing touch, but giving in, what am I giving up? Am I losing way too much? Hey, California waiting, every little things are gonna be just right. Say, why you trying to say? So fast that I can't slow down. It's hard to get up when you're spinning round and round. I give you the news, but nothing's changed. I sing you a song, but they blew it away. All wrapped up in a stupid ass game. Hey, California. Things are gonna be just right. Say, why are you trying to save me? Can I get back my lonely life? Trying to save me. Can I get back my lonely life? Hey, California, if real things are gonna be just right. Oh, lonely life.
For a sec, you started singing that. I was like, oh, yeah, I know that song. And I knew all the lyrics, and I like thought I'd had a stroke or something. I couldn't remember who did it.
A
like,
stroke?
Oh, my God. What has happened?
Bob's going to have a stroke.
I'm having a stroke or something.
Mayday, mayday.
Oh, boy. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's the Eagles.
Yeah.
So it was on the long run with the album? I sheepishly admit that I bought that when it first came out on an 8-track.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
Like, wow.
Classic.
Yeah. Probably burn through at least two of those. I mean, it didn't take that much work to like destroy an 8-track tape.
Damn. But that'd be cool if you still were able to use it. I had a greatest hits album in my car, and I would always just play it on road trips. So I secretly have a soft spot for some of the Eagles stuff, but you know, I know some people kind of get sick of it. this guy over here, I was like, let's play an Eagles song. And he was like, which one?
Let's play it, or maybe let's not.
This one bumps.
As long as it's not Hotel California.
Oh,
then
shush.
You draw a line at Hotel California.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that one.
You have to have standards. I applaud you, sir.
Wow. That's hilarious. Such a classic.
It is, but sort of like playing Stairway to Heaven a little bit.
That's my ringtone.
Freebird.
All of them. The trifecta. Yeah. Shoot. Well, we just have a couple more.
Great.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's punk rock.
That's definitely
punk
true.
Rock, for sure.
Is that a That's a nylon string guitar.
It is. This was my classical guitar that I used for 2 years, and then my professor Vidian was like, "You need a better guitar." but I love the warmth of the strings. I just think it sounds great.
It really
easier on the fingers, and I could go on and on.
I mean, it looks great. It's classing the joint up. This, you know, the KGVM studios are not a place that you would normally associate with classical music or guitars or anything. It looks more like a kind of a punk rock kind of a place.
No, it's cool. You guys should totally feature some random classical.
Yeah, we should.
Just have to play some Bach.
Carrie Krause has come down and played some Bach
here. Awesome. Okay, that's
a couple
great.
Times. So, yeah, I think we're working on it. And Nathan's playing. You said that was your first guitar, McLean's first guitar.
Yeah, that's my first guitar. Yeah, it's the 3/4 Martin, and I think it's a Mexican-made Martin. But, you know, it's still in one piece, and it looks cool. And
it works.
It works, yeah.
It actually sounds surprisingly good.
Awesome. I'm glad.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nathan's ripping it. Right.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I like it.
Nice.
come this time. So please, please, yeah, and rip that heart off your sleeve.
Other than peer pressure, are there any timelines for any recording, or just kind of let it organically happen?
Recording is going to organically happen, but thanks for asking, because now we're going to like set a date for when we should start. Because I think our last show that we have scheduled is in September. Or is it in October? We have like a few sprinkled like every month. So I would say by fall, we'll have started recording, and hopefully we'll have a ton of more awesome gigs next summer. We're going to try and get some more festivals in there and pre-plan a little better than we did this, you know.
It seemed like you guys were pretty busy this
year,
man, especially this summer. So
it's how you get good, though. That's how we've gotten good at playing together, at least. It's just playing so
just
much.
Just doing it a lot?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's... That's the way to do it, I guess. Any thoughts about recording any of the art and funk stuff?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's on the docket, I would say.
I like hearing the originals, more and more of those popping into the sets at the shows, so that's
awesome.
Pretty cool.
I'm glad you like them.
Yeah. I always lament, like, and I know, you know, like the reader's polls and stuff around here, you know, they're take with 14 grains of salt, but it always kind of bums me out when it's like, you know, I like the cover bands too, but they're always like the favorites of everything in it.
Right.
Man, I really know that a lot of people like to hear things they're familiar with, but I really would like to hear new things.
Yeah.
We only play songs that people know really well if, like, we also love it. Most of the time, we'll pick a deep cut cover over anything as long as we enjoy playing it, but it also helps if it's, like, a classic. Like, that's what we did with ABBA.
Yeah.
We do cover ABBA.
Which, I have to say, is... unexpected at an art and funk show, at least to me. I was
we love to throw people off, you know. We love to just keep them guessing.
It's good to keep people on their toes. It's, you know, it's not supposed to be comfortable. It's not supposed to get rote. I guess that's the thing. I mean, maybe, you know, some people, I think maybe it's more of a just a comfort thing than a like a exploration thing. And it's like, no, I'd like to, you know, I'd like to hear new things and find out new things and stuff. So
it's cool. There's cool people in town who like to kind of take more risks like that. But
yeah,
you know, it is easier to play it safe, as you say.
But. Well, and you know, I know, like when you're trying to come up with a set list for a show or something, it's like, well, you know, there's whether you like it or not. There's no denying
something in. You
there's
know?
No denying the fact that once you know when you hit that cover, that everybody's like, oh, they click in on that.
Yeah.
It's like everybody gets into it and stuff. So. I think you gotta kind of maybe you gotta do a few of those,
right.
Get people turned on,
have
listening.
A trick bag,
and then once you got them listening, then you can slide in some of your stuff and make them make them work for it a little bit.
Yeah. Which we try and be smart about it that way. We try.
Well, great. I know for a fact you can find your music on Bandcamp. And yes, I assume on the streaming services. So.
Yes. Yeah. Cherry Fox everywhere. Even YouTube. Even Deezer. If you use Deezer.
Deezer. Wow. Shout out.
Yeah. It's everywhere.
Cool. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in, especially on such short notice.
Oh, absolutely.
And, it was great. I look forward to seeing some new music coming out here.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.